Thank you all for attending today, class, and for those who are watching online. We spoke about the Srimad Bhagavatam last week, and for the past few classes, we've been speaking about Lord Ramachandra's festival and his birthday. Yesterday was a big festival, and festival still continues because on Sunday we're going to have the congregation big festival. So either we are still in the tithi for Ram Navami, I'll just say a little few words. Yesterday we were very, very fortunate to have Vaisheshika Maharaj to address us on this special day. Maharaj left his Silicon Valley in San Francisco to be with us, so we have to be grateful about that, and also his wife. We also, leading on to these Ram Navami classes, was Kripamoya Maharaj also gave some classes, so we have to be grateful for that and also appreciate that we have such devotees in our midst, Srila Prabhupada disciples themselves here present with us. We have to make use of it, especially for the young people who are here, because at one point you won't be having any Srila Prabhupada disciples, so we make the best of their presence while they are here. So I'm just going to talk about our Srimad Bhagavatam class today, which is, it's not on there. What's happening? It's over there. Shall I wait a little bit then? Okay. So what was I going to say? Yeah, about Sri Ram, when we celebrate Sri Ramachandra's birthday, also remember when he was installed, when these days he was installed, Sri Prabhupada installed Radha Gokulananda in 74, whereas the deities of Lord Ramachandra was installed in 1981. It's verse 11. Yeah, it was installed in 1981 under the guidance of Krishnadas Maharaj, who was also known as a Punjabi tiger of Srila Prabhupada. At that time, our GVC was Jai Teacher Maharaj, who was also GVC for UK and for South Africa when these deities were installed, and Vichitravir Prabhu was our temple president then. So when we celebrate the Ram Navami, we also celebrate their appearance on this altar. We all know and we all see that we have these special deities, both personalities on the same altar. Not many temples in ISKCON have this opportunity to have these wonderful deities. Like yesterday in his class, Vaisheshika Maharaj was saying, Lord Krishna and Lord Ram are non-different. And he did say that there are 62 qualities in Lord Ram, where there are 64 qualities in Krishna. There is two extra qualities. Anyone has any recollection of those special two qualities in Lord Krishna? What could it be? No, two special qualities that the incarnation of Vishnu, they all have these 62 qualities, but only Krishna, Lord Krishna, had these two special qualities. Sorry? Lila Madhuri, yes, and Venu Madhuri. Excellent. Yeah, you guys know everything. So Venu Madhuri, because only Lord Krishna can attract with his flute even the material and non-material things. Lord Krishna can attract. He's got the special qualities in him. And also with the Lila Madhuri, only Lord Krishna can attract love for himself, like we did, he attracted the gopis' love. Whereas Lord Ram, being in Maryada Purushottam, he is not enabled to do that because he is bound by rules and regulations. He also had taken Ekapat Nivrat, so he couldn't give his love elsewhere, only to Sita Devi, and be faithful like that. And Lord Krishna, he has these two special... Yeah, so Lord Krishna has these two special qualities. Yeah? Is that clear? Yeah. Venu Madhuri with the flute. And oh, okay, okay, okay. Thank you, thank you. So I'll start on this verse for today. Last time when Matiti gave the class, she spoke on verse 10, where the demigods were disturbed about what's happening in deities, what the havoc the embryo were creating. I'll just do the verse first, and then we can repeat after me, please. Shri Maitreya Uvacha. Saprahasya Mahabaho. Bhagavan Sabda Gochara. Payatas Damavu Devam. Prinam Ruchiragira. Maitreya Uvacha. Saprahasya Mahabaho. Bhagavan Sabda Gochara. Pratyachastatma Bhur Devan. Prinan Ruchiragira. Saprahasya Mahabaho. Bhagavan Sabda Gochara. Pratyaschatatma Bhur Devan. Prinam Ras Ruchiragira. Tyavacha Saprahasya Mahabaho Bhagavan Sabda Gochara Pratyasma Chatsma Bhurdevan Prinan Ruchiraya Gira. Maitreya Uvacha Saprayacha Mahabahu Bhagavan Sabda Gochara Payasma Chetapurdeva Mridam Rutya Gira. Maitreya Uvacha Saprahasya Mahabaho Bhagavan Sabda Gochara Prayata Chitmat Buddhivan Pridam Ruchiraya Gira. Maitreya Uvacha Saprahasya Mahabaho Bhagavan Sabda Gochara Paityasma Bhur Mahadevan Rucham Ruchiragira. Maitreya Uvacha Saprahasya Mahabaho Bhagavan Sabda Gochara Patyaschatatma Bhurdevan Prinan Ruchiya Gira. Maitreya Uvacha Sapayacha Mahabaho Bhagavan Sabda Gochara Pratyaschatma Bhudevan Prinan Ruchiraya Gira. Thank you. Word by word, please. Maitreya Uvacha.
Maitreya
said. Saha, he. Prahasya, smiling, smiling. Mahabahu, almighty armed Vidura. Bhagavan, the possessor of all opulences. Sabdagochara, who is understood by transcendental sound vibration. Pratyaschasta, replied. Atmabhu, Lord Brahma. Devan, the demigods. Prinan, satisfying. Ruchiraya, with sweet. Gira, words. Translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhakti Dasari Prabhupada. Jai Jai Shivada Kukulanda Niki Jai Sita Lam Lakshmana Noi. Sri Maitreya said, thus Lord Brahma, who is understood by transcendental vibration, tried to satisfy the demigods, being pleased with their words of prayer. So if you could repeat after me. Sri Maitreya said, thus Lord Brahma, who is understood by transcendental vibration, tried to satisfy the demigods, being pleased with their words of prayer. Purport by Sri Prabhupada. Brahma could understand the misdeeds of deity, and therefore he smiled at the whole situation. He replied to the demigods present there in words that they could understand. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chaksurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaiham Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Gurum Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavam Cha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Visakham Nitam Cha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesa Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishvabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyasya Kripa Sindhu Bhivacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabho Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivas Adi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. In this verse, chapter 15 of Canto 3, Canto 3, the Straight School, and chapter 15 dealing with the description of the kingdom of God. Today, verse 11, we're talking about Brahma reaction to the prayers of the demigods. Verse 1 till 11 today, we will talk about the background of how it lead to Brahma speaking now. So from verse 12 on to verse 45, Brahma will speak. And then from verse 46 till 50, the Kumaras will speak. So this Bhagavad, Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, like a conversation in a conversation and in a conversation sometimes. So what the demigods were concerned about, what anyone can recall what they're concerned about? Demigods? They're concerned about why did they approach Brahma for the prayer, with the prayer? The darkness, yes. So there was a darkness created by this embryo of deity because of circumstances that led to this conception. This embryo were influencing the moon and the sun, so there was no difference between night and day. Hence, the demigods were not able to accomplish their duties. Their duties were put on a halt. So being that they couldn't carry on with whatever they had to do, they approached Brahma. So how did they approach Brahma? They approached Brahma with a prayer. And then before they said the prayer to Brahma, they, of course, appraised Brahma first, like, you are the creator and you understand our situation. And this teaches us how we should approach as well when we have any difficulty. First we appraise, we accept the situation, we go in full humility, and then we ask for what we need to. So this Srimad Bhagavatam and any scripture, whatever is said there, it's not what has been said at that time, but this is for us as well to understand how to deal with our daily issues and how to lead our lives. When the demigods had been bothered about with the embryos creating this havoc, they couldn't really understand what was going on. So therefore, Brahma's duty was to try to explain to them and give them the background why this had to happen. And as we heard in the class before, that this pregnancy had to happen, and Hiranyakashipu has to come, Hiranyaksha has to come, the Lord will appear as the Lord Bo, and he will enact his pastimes, and Hiranyaksha will appear, the Lord will appear as nourishing a dev to protect his devotees. So all these will be learning things for us. Hence, Brahma knows that this is the sequence that he's been created as well. But to enable the demigods to work through all that, the demigods had to have an understanding of the background and what was happening. Lord Brahma also had this duty, because him being progenitor, he has the responsibility to make sure that the world is populated sufficiently so that his work can carry on. And hence the demigods are pivotal for his use. When Brahma is approaching the demigods, he's also smiling, because Lord Brahma knows that all this has happened due to the misdeed of his granddaughter. But of course, you know, with children we are lenient, but with grandchildren we are more lenient. So therefore that also made him smile, that the granddaughter has done this mischief. And yet he also knows that this mischief couldn't have been prevented. In few instances, we see how Lord Brahma deals with his devotees. When Lord Shiva was offended at the arena, sacrificial arena, by Daksha, and he'd gone to his abode, Lord Brahma knew that Lord Shiva was very powerful and could have destroyed the creation. So he, with the other demigods, approached Lord Shiva, pacifying him, and also pacifying him with a smile, and making him like happy to just accept what has happened. So Lord Brahma, being like the father of mankind, he has this tactful role to play, although he has to encourage those who are suffering. He also accepts those who are doing these actions. And also Lord Brahma, when he in Canto 5, when he instructs Priyavrata for creation of of the mankind when Priyavrata being influenced by his brother Narad Muni to stay celibate, Lord Brahma approached Priyavrata with a smile and explained to him that, you know, you have to procreate. When Priyavrata was insisting that he wanted to remain celibate, and Lord Brahma had to explain to him that you can still remain celibate while being a grihastha. So here we find the Lord of Lord Brahma, how he has to pacify. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says that Lord Brahma had to talk to the deity, to the demigods in the words that they could understand. But this is just a practical thing. When we talk to our subordinates or talk to our children, we have to come to their level to see what they are understanding. That's what Lord Brahma had to do, and Lord and Srila Prabhupada is mentioning about that. Why were the demigods overwhelmed? Because while they were having to look at the material needs for our creation, they also had to look at the spiritual needs as well. So there needed to be balance. To have that balance, they had to have some profound understanding about the creation itself. And hence, Lord Brahma will tell them about this Vaikuntha planet and how everything is working, just to satisfy them. Lord Brahma knows that, well, we all know that the planets need the sun and the moon to function, and the demigods are in charge of that. So the job have been put in hold. Whereas in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that in the planet where he is, in there is no sun or moon. In the Purushottam Yuga, chapter 15 of Bhagavad Gita, in his planet there is no sun or no moon. But when we reach there, we won't need all this. However, we are not there, so we have to deal with this material elements that's been given to us. And the sun and the moon, being also demigods, they have to be stay in their orbits, and they have to be able to manage the jobs for the welfare of the administration of this world. Lord Brahma also was pleased by the prayer. He was pleased by the prayer of the demigods. Hence, when we pray in practical life, whatever prayer we're doing, we have to ensure from within our us that prayer will please the person. We cannot pray like in the mode of like whatever, ignorance, whatever. We have to pray in the mode of goodness or really seeking for something. So that's the importance of Lord Brahma having prayed. And Lord Srila Prabhupada says in his purport as well about how to approach anyone in there whenever they come to you. Like, you have to know what words they will understand. Like, when we are sitting in a class, we have certain words we speak. At home, we have a certain type of word we will speak to our children, or in school, we will instruct children, we will instruct them how to speak. We have to come to their level to understand that their ability to comprehend. If the demigods were not able to understand what was going on, they would not be able to perform the duties. Hence, Lord Brahma had to simplify these instructions so that the demigod could grasp their responsibilities. And therefore, he had to give them capacity-based understanding. We will see later when Lord Brahma is talking. And Maitri has been speaking as well. In the past classes, it has been mentioned about the speakers of Srimad Bhagavatam being one conversation in another and another in another. So, for recap, anyone can kind of recall how many speakers are there in the Srimad Bhagavatam? The main ones, no, in all. Throughout the all 12 cantos. All the cantos, yeah. Anybody? No.
Someone was saying that maximal.
Yeah. The main speaker, that's the main speakers, but above all, how many speakers? Yeah, surprising. 362 speakers, just like we see the, who's speaking, the Kumaras will speak, they are just like some conversation. But in all, 362 personality will speak in Shrimad Bhagavatam. And the actual knowledge of the Shrimad Bhagavatam, who were the first person who spoke it? Just a recap, if you don't mind. It helped us. Yes, Sukadeva Goswami speaks, yeah, the main one to Parikshit Maharaj, but the main. A little bit, nearly there. Sukadeva Goswami, yes, nearly there. Okay, so the main one, main knowledge was given to Lord Brahma by Lord Krishna himself at the beginning of creation. That's the first one. And then after that, Lord Krishna, he speaks it to Arjuna. And then he does say, Ivam Paraprapraptam, Ivam Jajashubhiko, Sakalina Mata, Ayuyamatsapalantapa. This knowledge was given to Vivashwan, Ishvaku, and it passed on. And in the course of time, that knowledge was lost. So Lord Krishna, he speaks it to Lord Brahma first. Brahma, he in turn speaks it to his son Narad. Narad speaks it to Vyasadev. Vyasadev speaks it to Sukadev Goswami. That's the main thing we know about Sukadev Goswami speaking for 7 days to Parikshit Maharaj when he's at the verge of his death. He's been cursed to die in 7 days by Shingi. So he's sitting at the bank and Suta Goswami. Sukadeva Goswami will speak this, and later Suta Goswami will repeat this at the forest of Naimisharanya. So why do we think this knowledge was lost? It didn't come down in the parampara. And the last one was Lord Krishna speaking to Arjuna. That's the last bit we got in the Shrimad, in our Bhagavad Gita. So this is, that's our book. Okay, so the Shrimad Bhagavatam itself, the knowledge having been lost, it was revived again at Naimisharanya by the sages. In the class a little while ago, I heard the name mentioned, Naimisharanya. Naimisharanya. Anyone can have a recall with what it is and what it's all about? Yeah. 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 Yes. Yes. Yeah. So then that was the last time it was spoken to these sages. That's, we get the knowledge from the Srimad Bhagavatam. But previous to that, the knowledge has been lost. So what happened in Naimisharanya when Narad Muni wanted a place for meditation, Lord Brahma, he just, in his mind, he created a chakra. So that chakra, when he threw it, it fell at that forest. And having fallen at that forest, it created a little lake. The lake is not very big. It's only a little bigger than our lake here. Whoever's gone there have seen it. You can circumambulate it, yeah? You circumambulate it. So that chakra having fallen there, I mean, it is, some say that it is the center of the universe or the center of the world. Center of this material world, yes, Prabhu. Yeah, so that is the Naimisharanya, but its depth is not known to date. But the width, you can swim around it. During the British government, they built a wall around that lake. They say 40 3 feet high wall and a thick wall. So you can, and then there's another like a water, like a pool around the lake. You can walk around it. And it's believed that if you circumambulate the water of the Naimisharanya, of that chakra lake, bhakti get rejuvenated. So anyone can get the chance and go to Naimisharanya and then get our bhakti revived, because that's the last place that this Bhagavatam was spoken. And also, Naimisharanya is also was very important in the days in the Satya Yuga, because that was their Priyavrata and Satarupa. They performed 23,000 years of sacrifice in the aim of getting Vishnu as their son. And in the next birth, they came as Kaushalya and Dashrath, and King Dashrath, and they had Lord Ram as their child. That place also is has been prominent for the exile of Lord Ramachandra when he was exiled. In exile, they lived in Naimisharanya. Also, the Pandavas stayed there. Also, in that place, Indra used the bones of Didichi to kill Bhattasura. That was the place, because all the rishis were there then, or they were living there. Why this place comes in mind to be important in our Vaishnava philosophy as well, because that's our destination. From there, we get all this knowledge. From Naimisharanya, we get this knowledge. So anyone has anything to say about that? You've been, and how is it? No? Take the mic. He's been. Yeah. No, it's good, because everybody knows that, because a place like that is existing still, because like our Hinduism is meant as mythology, and you know, it's been put back, and then with things like that we can give to the world, like, look, we have something here for you. This is there. You go and have a look at it. Like the Pushkar is there. Lord Brahma's first place of creation is there. Go have a look at it. It's not myth. So yes, Prabhuji.
Yes, like Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. So Mataji, like I've been there 5 years back. Like I was in engineering college, so we have gone there the Nanda tour, like the all the places where the Ramchandra has did the pastimes. There's a Dhruv Dila also around the Kanpur.
Yeah.
And there we have visited the Naimisharanya. So we have seen this nice place in the like the forest. Still, we have realized that this is like the Satogun place, you know, and we walked in that the chakra, you know. So it was amazing experience. That's the only memory.
What is relevant about that place is when Brahma created it, Brahma has blessed that place not to be affected by the age of Kali. So when you go there, like you're saying, everything is very authentic. Whereas, I mean, if 20 years you went into Vrindavan, now you cannot recognize it. Even Mayapur, everything has changed. So many places of pilgrimage have changed, but that place has been blessed to stay like as it is. So to get there, you go to Lucknow first. And
Then we visited the ISKCON temple, Kanpur also. Then we visited the ISKCON, Lucknow.
Yeah.
And then we have gone through the Dhruv Dila. Not the Dhruv Dila, it's like where the Love and Kush have, there's a place, I forget the name, they have, the Sita also, Sita has taken the, you know, have gone the inside the earth, that place also we have visited, Sita Mata, and Yeah, there are many places. I forget.
But Sita Dhati Pravesh is there. It's all there. It's all visible. Yeah. We can all see. So when we get challenged that what is your religion about, your myth, it's this, it's that, we have so many things, you know, in our heritage that we haven't really explored, that we don't really know about. It's been lost. Actually, there's one of Gopal Krishna Maharaj, Goswami Maharaj, is one of his disciples is doing something on heritage, and he's excavating some places in Vrindavan, and it would be interesting to go there. So with Naresh Misharanya, Lokanath Maharaj built an ISKCON temple there about 24 years ago. It's a big ISKCON temple. It's worth seeing. When you go, that's your base. From there, you can travel. And if you're going by train, you go to Sitapur, and then from Sitapur, you go. The relevance being that we can go see for ourselves. That's still like how Brahma had blessed it to be, Lord Brahma had blessed it to be. Also, when we look at what ISKCON has done as well, having spread throughout the world, even in India, there were places that were not known at all. They have so many ISKCON temples there. And all is standard. And Jai Jai Shri Radha Gokuland Ki Jai, Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Gol Nitai Ki Jai. So we see when we go throughout the world, all ISKCON have same standards. And there's Mahurat, they worship by the time. Everyone has the same routine. So then we can appreciate what Srila Prabhupada has given us. Whereas in India, everything has appeared to be lost, and we lost so many heritage. And Srila Prabhupada has to go out of that zone to go to the West, to use his Western devotees, to use the white dancing elephants to be able to revive this actually to the world and even to India itself. So with our ISKCON movement, we see that how even the Vaishnavism has grown. When we also look at the work that Gopal Krishna Maharaj has done, because he's worked in collaboration with the actual government and pushed ISKCON forward. We will also see soon that there'll be a big university, one of its type, coming in Vrindavan. It's about 14 miles away from our Krishna Balaram temple. The university is in 100 acres of land. Do you know about it? Anything about it? Anyone know about it? Yes? This university? Give Prabhu the mic. It's good to know. Everybody should know, like, you know, what our ISKCON is doing. Yeah? Yeah?
No, I've just seen that. I've heard it mentioned that there's a university in Vrindavan being built.
Yeah, this university is government funded. It's approved by the IIT from India, Indian Institute of Technology, whatever. But this university is going to be Vedic based. Which is interesting about it. In 100 acres of land, they'll have the Gurukulam, and they have the university as well. And this Radhakanta Prabhu has been working on it for the past 16 years. This is all the nice things for us to look forward to, that our ISKCON has grown so much. And all thanks to Srila Prabhupada having given us all this, so we can enjoy this Bhaktivinoda manner. And when we come here, we, even as a visitor, even as a someone to do some volunteer, we appreciate how much richness we have here. I don't know of any temple who could be so as multinational as this one. Maybe there is, maybe America, I don't know. But this temple is really very, you know, multicultural, multinational, multi-everything. We have to be very kind of grateful that we get to come here, and more so for those who happen to do some little service. Then we feel like Krishna is reciprocating with us. We are able to serve their lordships. I have had the good fortune to serve in this temple for the past 3 decades, thanks to the good management and under leadership of our GBC, so which we have to follow. Unless we follow some kind of direction, we will all feel that we're scattered. That's why our process has been given, that we have to take someone, a guru, to take us to them. We can speculate, we can in our mind go to them and be there, but unless we have that connection, we won't be able to achieve that. So we are all here for connection, for association, for enthusing each other, for trying to help each other. So today, if you find ourselves in the midst of this devotee association, I mean, I think it must have been said so many times before, that it must be like something that we've appreciated about it. Unless we appreciate, we won't be able to get it. Unless we appraise whatever we have, we won't be able to get in any further. Of course, unless we desire, if the desire is not there, we won't get it. So we have to always be desiring, although the best desire is to be desireless, but we desire to be in good association, then we get good association. If we don't desire, we will never get it. And then we won't deserve it. Unless we deserve it, then we will get it. And all that is done through surrender. And the surrender, again, is basic. Our regulatory principles, our chanting, our attending the programs, our being submissive to our authorities. All our authorities are trying so much. All the management are trying so much to just help us. And there are so many various types of service available at every level. Anyone can do any service, even from home, even in your community, even come to the temple and do some service, but all remain connected in the devotee association. Like we see, everyone have their difficulties, but we have to overcome that. Even Lord Brahma had so many difficulties. I mean, he's been cursed not to be worshipped. He's the creator. He's the actual, you know, father of mankind, but he had his difficulty where he was cursed that he will not be worshipped. But the curse was kind of made lenient for him that he's worshipped in Pushkar only. If the father of mankind has difficulties, why wouldn't we be having difficulties? So therefore we have to continue with these difficulties, and all you young boys, brahmacharis, continue with your programs. I mean, again, so lords and brahmacharinis, it's not an easy path. But and then we can put ourselves as instruments in the hands of their lordships. But most important thing will be association. So Lord Brahma, when he was looking at the welfare of mankind, he wanted to do a big yagya. And when he was wanting to look for the place for yagya, he just had a flower in his hand, a pushpa, yeah? So he just threw it, and then a lake was formed called Pushkar, which is there now in Ajmer, in Rajasthan. And for the worship, for the puja there, his wife had to be present, Savitri. But when the Muhurat was approaching, Savitri wasn't there. And Lord Shiva was asked to go and find someone suitable. When Lord Shiva went and found this cowherd girl, that the purest thing he could find, so Lord Shiva brought this girl, but the girl was mortal, therefore wasn't suitable to sit by the side of Lord Brahma. Hence, that girl was put through a cow to be purified, and then she became Gayatri, and then she sat by Lord Brahma for the sacrifice. It's all been said that a sacrifice cannot be performed if one's consort is not by their side. So when Savitri found that someone had replaced her, she became very angry and she cursed Lord Brahma that you will not be worshipped. And then Gayatri, because she had just sat in this yagya, and she was very powerful, so she could counteract that. No, she couldn't counteract, but she could like make it like easier, the curse easier. She said that, okay, yes, won't be worship for you, but you will be worshipped in Pushkar, and that's where they have the only Brahma temple. Some people can say that there are all other Brahma temples, which I don't know about, but Pushkar is the main one, and that's in Ajmer. When you go to Rajasthan, you take a train to Ajmer. From there, you take a transport to go to Pushkar, and that's also very nice. It has got 53 bathing huts. It's a big, big lake, Pushkar is. Also, Lord Brahma was cursed by Lord Shiva as well, so that he couldn't be worshipped. Yeah, once when there was a competition between Vishnu and Brahma of who is more powerful, so Shiva, as a witness, he stood as a pillar, a big pillar of fire between them, and he said, whoever can find the beginning or the end is the greatest. So Lord Vishnu, he took his shape as a boar, and he went down, and digging, he couldn't find anything. He came up and he accepted defeat. Whereas Lord Brahma, he took his vahan, in the form of the vahan of a swan, he went up and up and up and up and up. He couldn't find anything. Eventually, he came across a kataka flower, and the flower said, "Where are you going?" She said, "I'm going to find the end." The flower said, "I've been here for a million of years. There's no beginning or the end to this." And then Lord Brahma, kind of in a cheating mood, he said to the flower, "Be my witness, because one has to be like, I have to show that I've seen it. So just say you've seen it." So the flower came, and then we came to Shiva, that yes, we found the end. And then Lord Shiva was very, very angry, because Ashutosh, Shiva, he knows he's the beginning and there's no neither beginning or end to him. And he was stood there by the pillar, and he knew that Brahma had lied. So Lord Shiva cursed him that you will not be worshipped anywhere. And also he was cursed, Lord Brahma was cursed by Bhrigumuni, because in the assembly, Lord Brahma had ignored Bhrigumuni, and the Munis, they were also very powerful. So he cursed Brahma. So in summary, when someone like Lord Brahma, our creator, he has had to have difficulties, he was cursed, and he had to have lots of face everything, why wouldn't we have to deal with so many types of difficulties to get to attain our goal, to remain in Krishna consciousness. I've got a couple of minutes, if anyone wants to say anything or talk, anything. Yes, please, Babu. You're always very good, always there for us, and always saying something.
When all the sages of
Naimisharanya, yes?
Yeah, there were so many different types of yogis.
88,000, yeah.
Yeah, and it occurred to me that actually they were brainwashed at that time, because there were Mayavadis there,
yeah,
and all sorts.
Yeah.
And, you know, so they... because of the austerity,
yes,
of Parachit,
yeah,
it attracted everyone, all the yogis.
Yeah.
And so many different yogis must have been changed, you know, in their beliefs because, yeah, of this Srimad Bhagavatam. That's what occurred to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, they had committed to perform a 1,000-year sacrifice, because those sages also, they work for the benefit of mankind. They want to see human being, because this was what is happening, it's at the dawn of Kali Yuga,
yeah,
when Parikshit Maharaj was cursed to die, the battle of Kurukshetra was lost and won, and so many things were going to happen. That's when the sages of Naimisharanya, having done the sacrifice, they say that, yeah, they did get lots of...
Yeah, they all got benefit.
Benefit, yeah, because of Sita Goswami.
Yeah.
And Sonaka Rishi, because he was leading on the... Sonaka Rishi was leading on the sages, must have had. Okay, thank you. Anyone else? Yes?
Agashma, you were talking about earlier, we have to serve. So I was wondering how, you're talking about service?
Yes.
How do we develop the desire to serve?
Desire to serve is by desire to see everyone happy. Right? If any administration, we see that everything is happy, everything going well, we want to be in that organization. So that creates us in us the desire, what can I do? Right? But this is within us. What do I want to see in my life? Do I want to see misery around me? Do I want to see people not satisfied? Do I want to see everybody happy? So your desire to see someone happy, that gives you the desire to serve, right? You could be seeing someone and then someone maybe not happy, but in your mind, you must make that vision that this is the happy thing that I'm seeing. Everybody's happy, then I have the desire to serve. And this desire also to serve will be also become as a habit as well, because once you're doing something, you get some satisfaction out of it, and satisfaction cannot be measured as such by anyone. It's your own tool that you can feel how satisfied you are. And once you're satisfied, your desire multiplies. Desire multiplies desires. Then you go on. And just like service multiplies service. Once you start one little service, you can get next. Whereas from the beginning, if you stay away from service, so that's not for me, then you'll never get any service. So I got the desire, come some desire. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Yeah? Yes? Yes. Well, center of this material world, yeah. Center. Yeah. Take the mic.
Yeah, Namisarenya is the place where like the whole material world has created, the center of the Brahmaji is created, the center of the all the universes in material world. And the Radha Damodar place in the Vrindavan is the center of all the spiritual worlds and material worlds, where the Prabhupada had seated and meditated on the love, how we will preach this Krishna consciousness. That place is still in the Vrindavan, where we used to go and visit that Radha Damodar temple. And this is the only one universe. All the universes of the material world, the center of that point is Namisaranya.
Namisaranya, yes. And hence, that's why you don't get the depth of it. There's no depth to it. So it's all interconnected. Yes. And also they say that the water of Namisaranya, when it flows underneath, it meets the Gomati River, which joins the Ganga. And then the Ganga will merge at the Bay of Bengal with the... So it's all one, really, basically. It's one water. So that makes it the center. Yes? Okay? Happy? Thank you. Okay, everybody? Thank you so much. Shrimad Bhagavatam ki. Hare Krishna. Prabhupada.